Welcome to Living Waters Church, a community with Jesus at the center, shaped by scripture, dependent on his spirit, following together. For more resources, information, and news, check out our website, lwchurch.ca, and get connected.
Hi, friends. My name is Dave. I'm happy to be sharing today. We still are considering the Gospel of Luke. We actually have a few weeks left, and the passage that we look at today, we'll be considering next week as well, as next Sunday references Pentecost Sunday. And so excited that we're sharing in this particular passage over the course of two Sundays. We're in Luke chapter 24 today, and we're looking at verses 44 to 49. Allow me to read this passage as we get started. It says, "Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, this is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." Verse 48, "You are witnesses of these things." Verse 49, "I'm going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." I had the privilege of teaching a course at Trinity Western University this past winter. The class was designed to build one lesson upon the next over a 12-week period. Well, as a first-time professor, I was a rookie, I was learning. I came to realize early on that one of my primary responsibilities was to keep reviewing and reminding the students what they had already heard and learned from the lessons and what they had learned by submitting their classwork. What became evident to me, I actually think what became evident to the students as well, is that once they were asked to recall things, many times they knew much more than they thought. In this chapter, Luke chapter 24, we are noting on a few occasions the disciples were asked to recall things that they had already been taught. For example, while at the empty tomb in Luke chapter 24, verse 5, the women were asked, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you." They were asked to recall. Perhaps with a bit of an assumption, you know this. You know this already. And then in Luke 24, verse 25, Jesus said to the two disciples, "How foolish you are and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken or already spoken to you." And now others, you know this. As you recall this, you know this. What we see here is that one of the big priorities in Jesus's resurrection plan is to solidify in the minds and hearts of the disciples the words spoken by Jesus in verse 48 of our text. It's right in the center where it says, "You are witnesses of these things." You are witnesses of these things. By the end of this short teaching, that question will be asked of us. What are you witnesses of? So to get to the declaration over the disciples' lives, our text builds in verse 45, in verse 46, in verse 47, to get to this place where Jesus declares over these disciples that you are witnesses of these things. Let's take a look. In verse 45, Luke notes how Jesus opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. Again, understand what? Well, broadly, narrowly speaking, how all the scriptures point to Christ's death and resurrection, and how Jesus himself prophesied these events that were happening, Jesus' death and Jesus' resurrection. So these disciples were witnesses based on what they had heard and what they were seeing in the present. The tomb was empty. The tomb where Jesus had been laid to rest was empty. The physical evidence of Jesus' resurrected body with flesh and blood, bones and skin, was who they were seeing. And finally, they were seeing the evidence, evidence of the lives of the other disciples, their colleagues, their peers, their friends, the community, of how each one was being supernaturally transformed from skeptic to becoming fully believing and obeying followers of Jesus. They were witnesses of these very things, things they read and saw, things they learned and were discovering. Verse 46, Jesus told them, "For this is what is written, the Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day." Well, they had witnessed his suffering and his rising. Again, it would have been so easy to get back to the celebration. Jesus risen from the dead. Let's stay away from the horror and all the trouble and cruelty of the crucifixion. Would have been easier. Instead, Jesus intentionally reminds them that they were witnesses of the suffering to spur on a reminder, perhaps, of as to the big why of his suffering, which he explains in verse 47, so that repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name. The big why. His suffering was to lead to the preaching and teaching of repentance. So here, part of Jesus' resurrection and reveal plan was to bring forward many of the themes that Jesus taught during his earthly ministry and was still teaching, the subject and decision for repentance. What is repentance? Well, it's a word that John the Baptist used. It was a word that Jesus spoke as he spoke a message of repentance. The disciples were witnesses of these things, and the disciples had actually responded. But what is repentance? Well, one scholar says it this way: repentance refers to an event in which an individual attains a divinely provided new understanding of their behavior and feels compelled to change that behavior and begin a new relationship with God. Repentance is part of the experience in the New Old Testament, and of course, we're in the New. In the Old Testament, repentance was expressed by a number of different actions that show a change in thinking and attitude towards sin and God. In the Old Testament, repentance was demonstrated, Ezra 9:10, Joel 1, by publicly displaying a mourning over sin, such as weeping or tearing of garments, wearing sackcloth. In 1 Chronicles 21, repentance involved making restitution for wrongs committed. In Genesis 33, repentance involved abasing oneself before the wrong party. So repentance means acknowledging a falling short, acknowledging a sin, and doing something about it, taking it somewhere, doing something because of how wrong it is. It's more than turning away from an evil behavior or an action. It's more than stopping something. Repentance also, however, means, again, an acknowledging and a repairing. It also means starting to do something in a different way. Thus, repentance turns someone away from evil and hating it. And repentance also means turning to God and loving him and rejoicing as we are caught up afresh in new life. So Jesus isn't saying, in part, because of my suffering, now repentance for the proclamation and practice of repentance needs to be told to other people. Again, repentance for the forgiveness of sins. So again, forgiveness of sins requires repentance. Repentance, which of course puts a name on actions and attitudes that Jesus taught, Old Testament, New Testament, but we're in the New Testament, that Jesus taught falls short of the glory of God. So what we notice is that God never grants forgiveness without a recognition of the price that must be paid for that sin or payment of the wage of that sin. So forgiveness is not free. God's forgiveness is always based on the acknowledgement and covering of every sin. And again, in the Old Testament, it describes it quite beautifully, actually, in the book of Leviticus. After the description of an animal sacrifice, again and again and again, we read something like what is found in Leviticus 4:26, the priest shall make atonement for him for his sin, and he shall be forgiven. So atonement, of course, being what is about being what is given, or the payment, or the wage that needs to be paid for the forgiveness of sin. And so again, New Testament, after Christ's death, now his resurrection, pointing to the fact that Jesus paid the wage or the penalty for human sin. Jesus paid the wage for our sin. Jesus is the one and only true atonement for sin. Therefore, forgiveness is found because of his death and his resurrection. So we see behind the word forgiveness, God does not, or he cannot simply say, I forgive you. Forgiveness comes only through the blood of Jesus shed on the cross for those who acknowledge and repent and those who receive forgiveness through the work that Jesus has done on our behalf. The text goes on, repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed. Again, this is Jesus's heart, his resurrection reveal plan on full display. Jesus says that repentance for the forgiveness of sin should be proclaimed. It should be preached. It should be publicly announced. It should be heralded. Why? Because people are invited to return to God through repentance because of Christ's death on the cross. Jesus died and then rose again. Jesus had already thought about how to take a sinful person and bring them back to God. Should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So again, Jesus shares all this to remind his disciples they are witnesses to this. Jesus crossed social and ethnic differences and divides so that everyone could hear, everyone could be invited to repent, and everybody could benefit from the wage being paid by Jesus through his death on the cross for people's forgiveness of sin. So again, verse 48, this builds verse 45, 46, 47 to the point where Jesus says, and you are witnesses of these things. In Greek, the word you is emphatic. The point is unmistakable. You are Jesus turning to his disciples and saying, you are the ones who are witnesses to all these things. At this point in our text, in verse 49, Jesus seems to pivot and talk about something entirely different. I repeat the reading of verse 49. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. We're going to talk more about this in our next week, but for this week. It seems, as we read from verse 45 on, that this is one more thing that the disciples need to witness. Stay in the city until you witness being clothed with power from on high. The use of a metaphor is helpful to understand this biblical phrase and invitation. The phrase signifies a believer actually witnessing themselves receiving of the Holy Spirit and personally witnessing the empowerment for ministry. Well, how does this happen? as this verse says, a believer witnesses themselves being clothed with power or endued with power, another translation says. This means that this power, through clothing or endowment, becomes part of the believer, shaping a person's character and enabling them to know and sense the nearness of God's presence, the reality of life change, and of course, then the responsibility and empowerment to act on behalf of God. But Jesus says, you are witnesses of these things. Jesus' resurrection and reveal plan, that we, his disciples, would be witnesses of all these things, including themselves witnessing of the empowerment of the Holy Spirit coming upon their lives. The idea that Jesus would say and do things and people would witness this. So this becomes our witness. The idea that things supernaturally happen in people's lives and in our lives, and we witness this, and this becomes our witness. What kind of things? Well, that repentance leads to forgiveness and deliverance of sin, and the infilling of the Holy Spirit that radically and supernaturally transforms a person's life. I've witnessed that in some of my friends' lives, where while on a journey with Christ through them, through repentance and through a supernatural infilling of the Holy Spirit, I've watched my friends witness their lives supernaturally changing because of the work that Jesus is doing in their lives. Their witness of what Christ has done and doing is absolutely a new narrative for their lives. And I, not only have they witnessed it, but it has created a witness for them to me as they testify to what Christ has done. The idea that we would say and do things and other lives would be challenged and changed, and we become a witness as Christ works in us. So friends, this passage, while short and perhaps brief, is really, really a significant passage. It's important for us. While it seems, perhaps, as we quickly read it, that we are simply listening in on Jesus interact and talk with his first disciples. He was with them in the room. He was with them on the road. Lots going on, and how fascinating to have a firsthand look and to have Jesus say to the disciples, you are witnesses of these things. Well, this passage asks us to consider our witness. Again, as we consider our relationship with Jesus, for being a witness is something that happens to us before anything can happen through us. We often think of the word witness as something that we do, but witness begins by Jesus doing something for us. And that's really primarily what this passage is all about, what Christ had done for them and the ability of the disciples and now us to sort it out, allowing it to create a witness that Christ has done these things and that the Spirit has done these things in my life. This passage encourages us to allow Jesus through his Spirit to speak to us, to minister to us, to change us, so that we can all come to a place where we would say for ourselves and say together within community, you are witnesses of these things. So let me ask you in closing, this passage calls us to appreciate Scripture and allowing the Scriptures to reveal Jesus to us. Is that your witness? That through Scripture, Jesus has revealed his narrative that runs through Scripture, his redemptive plan for you, your family, your friends, for the world that we live in. Scripture. Is that your witness? Secondly, This passage points to the suffering of Christ. Allowing an appreciation for Jesus' suffering to reveal his love for us. Is that your witness? A great appreciation for how Jesus 2,000 some years ago died on a cross so that you and I could repent and have forgiveness of sin, cruelty of sin and wage removed from us because of his suffering. Is that your witness? Is your witness through what you have seen and heard? Jesus raised from the dead, the empty tomb, his appearance, now working through his Spirit. Is this your witness? You have seen things, you have heard things, you are experiencing things because Jesus through his Spirit is walking closely with you. This is your witness this very day. Of course, salvation. Is this our witness? For we have received mercy and grace because, again, we've repented and received forgiveness of sin and deliverance. And this new life that we have received from Christ is now something we witnessed because of what Christ has done for us. It tells our story. And finally, something that we introduced this week and we'll talk about next week, but Spirit baptism. By witnessing your personal infilling of the Holy Spirit, it creates a witness of work and transformation, strength and power given to a person graciously and generously as Jesus promises to clothe and endue us with his power from on high. Is that your witness? For Jesus promises these moments in time when individual disciples are filled by his Spirit. It's something Christ has for us. So again, I would imagine your answer would be quite similar to mine to all those questions. A bunch of yeses and a bunch of, oh Lord, please do more in my life this very day. I want to witness more of your revelation, more of your reveal, more of your working within my life. I open my heart to witness the work of salvation and the work of your Spirit this very day. Let's pray together and ask that this very day, this very moment, as we pray together, that we would witness something absolutely supernatural, which would be God's heart and desire for each one of us this very day. Let's pray for that good witness within our lives today. Heavenly Father, today we pray in your holy name. We pray today for a movement of your Holy Spirit to reveal Scripture, to reveal, again, your suffering and why, to reveal salvation and deliverance and that gift that you offer to us. Lord, we pray that you would open Scriptures afresh to us. We open our hearts, even this very day, to the infilling of your Holy Spirit, that we would witness, even right now, this infilling of your Holy Spirit, that would make us ever more aware of how near and close and how you seek to strengthen and empower us for daily living, for life, in a way that would allow us to live an empowered life, an overcoming life for your glory and for clarity of purpose and witness in this world. Lord, we pray for one another today, wherever we gather, wherever we're sitting now or standing, wherever we are today, we pray for one another for a beautiful witness of what you are doing now and hope to do in the days ahead within our lives. Lord, we love you so much. We sense your life and love this very moment, and we open up our hearts to all that you have for us on this good and glorious day. In Jesus' name, we pray all these things, and we say together today, Amen.
Thanks for joining today. If you'd like to get more connected or involved in any way, please reach out. We'd love to help. Have a great week.